News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, the News Talk powerhouse in North Alabama. The biggest shows across the afternoons in the northern part of our state is this one, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Best audience in the world, by the way. A bunch of right side ruffians out there listening. And love the fact that we've got people all over the place that that have tied into this show and made it what it is just in a short amount of time. Hey, the phone lines are open, 866-494-9866. Want to hear your thoughts, 866-494-9866. We've had a number of things today. We've talked about General Milley. We've talked about freedom and the founding of our nation. We've talked about the Grand Council, and we bounced some things off each other about politics and things that are happening. And we also had Copper's Corner, and she even said she'd love to hear your input on, like, what do you think about where people get their news and where do you get your news? So I'd love to hear it. 866-494-9866. I got one caller already holding. So, Copper, let's go to line four. I got John from Huntsville. Hey, John, Phil Williams here. What you got?
Hey, Phil. Listen, I want to talk about General Milley for a moment.
Okay.
And his political aspirations.
All right.
I went in the Army in 73 and retired in 99. And even as far back as my first years in the service, I picked up on the fact that to achieve rank in the military, especially a four-star or general, one-star general, or better, even a full-bird colonel, you had to play the political game. And if you don't, you won't get promoted.
So let me ask you this, John. When you say the political game, hey, John, let me ask you this. When you say the political game, do you mean politics with politicians or internal politics within the Army? Which one are you referring to?
Well, at first it starts out with internal politics with the Army, and then it goes to the politics with the politicians.
I've seen some of that.
The high enough rank.
I have, and by the way, John, thanks for your service. I have seen some of that.
Oh, you're welcome. Easiest job I ever had.
Well, good on you. But hey, man, thanks for the call. We appreciate you calling in. So yeah, there's this thought out there right now that generals do get very political as time goes by. And you know, some of that you look at and go, okay, you work with the people you work with. And is it political to say, that's my boss, he told me what to do, I'm going to be a good troop and get her done? Or are you working the system? Are you gaming things? And there's you know, it's supposed to be a merit-based society, the military is, a merit-based society in which you are evaluated constantly, and you have to have records of evaluations and achievements and certain types of service. Like, as a young officer, did you have command time? Did you have what they call a broadening time when you got outside of your usual lane? And all these things have to happen. Did you have the level of education you're supposed to have? Because there's different levels of both military and civilian education. But at the same time, there is this sense that as you move up in rank, people start finding out who they know and making sure they maintain those relationships. Sometimes it's for mentoring. Sometimes it's so you can go to the next place you want to serve. Others believe, though, that sometimes it's also for rank, and it's who you know and not what you know or what you've done. And I guarantee that when the folks start working in the D.C., by the way, when they work in the Pentagon, and I've worked in the Pentagon, When they get up to the flag officer rank and they're working in the Pentagon, they have no choice but to interact with politicians. And then they fall into favor, out of favor. And I look at this right now, and I said it earlier with General Milley. I believe that he should have stepped away at the end of the Trump administration. Regardless of whether I don't care if he liked Trump. It wasn't his, you know what? I don't give a rat squat whether he liked Trump or not. We're hearing that he didn't. That's not supposed to be his concern. His concern is to fully and effectively execute the commands of the civilian authorities over him as the head of the military branches. And if he indeed did go behind and subvert his commander-in-chief and execute those phone calls without the knowledge of his civilian boss, which was the SecDef, the Secretary of Defense, acting at the time was Chris Miller. If he did do that without their authority, and if he did in fact say, hey, China, don't worry. If something's about to happen, I'll call and give you a heads up. Well, at that point, he could have undermined State Department efforts. He could have undermined leverage that the then President of the United States was still trying to work on issues with China. He could have undermined one administration in favor of the incoming administration in order to give himself a leg up. Truth be told, if you look at his resume, General Milley has had an amazing career. If you look at his uniform and you know what those things on his uniform mean, he's had an amazing career. He would have done well to resign or retire, excuse me, because he's earned retirement. He would have done well to have retired at four-star rank, at the highest level of service he could have possibly achieved in uniform, and gone to the house at the beginning of this year and saved himself all of this embarrassment. At this point, though, I think we're looking at a situation where if he doesn't become a scapegoat, he's going to find a way to quietly retire sometime in the next few months and hope that people don't assign blame on his way out the door. That's what I think. 866-494-9866. You want to call in and talk about that or anything else? Phone lines are open. 866-494-9866. Switching gears here for a minute. So interesting case. You know, sometimes these things happen in a federal court in another state, but they impact the nation. This one doesn't necessarily, but it does give something to grab hold of. So with regards to vaccine mandates, and this one dealt with state because it was a governor's imposed vaccine mandate, all right? So it's not necessarily going to happen here. But the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of New York, two days ago, blocked Democratic New York Governor Kathy Hochul. Remember, she's the one who replaced Cuomo. Blocked the order mandating that health workers get the vaccine. Now, there's some read between the lines stuff here. There's some read between the lines stuff here on vaccine mandates, because it's healthcare workers who don't want the shot. What does that tell you? If there's a group of healthcare workers, people who work in that environment and know the gig, and they're not wanting the shot, that's interesting. That's worthy of a conversation by itself. And in fact, I believe I have somebody coming on the show later this week who will have that conversation with me. But in this particular case, the court said you can't. They put a stay on the mandate on these healthcare workers because they were claiming a religious exemption and not being allowed to otherwise have it. Their religious exemption claim was that too often these vaccines are created using stem cells from aborted babies, and that it was a violation of their belief as practicing Catholics that would allow them to even take that vaccine. And yet Governor Cuomo was saying, no, you're going to have it. And then Governor Hochul was saying the same thing, you're going to have it. And the Thomas More Society, a conservative legal organization, stepped in and literally said that attempts to nullify protections for sincere religious beliefs granted under Title 12 of the Civil Rights Act, Title 7, I'm sorry, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, cannot be allowed, and that it affords those protections for religious beliefs. I think we're going to see that come up in a lot of places. If you heard my call yesterday with our Attorney General Steve Marshall here on the show, I asked him that very question. Are we going to see the claims of the state involving itself in the questions of religious exemptions? Are we going to see that as one of the fights in this vaccine mandate fight? And he said he did believe it would. All right, I got a phone call here at 866-494-9866. You want to call in and talk, and I see on line five, I got Chuck from Athens. Hey, Chuck, Phil Williams from Right Side. How are you, and what's going on?
I'm doing fine. Enjoy your show every day. And, you know, I've got a question about vaccine mandates. And
okay.
That's a hypothetical question, but let's say I'm a federal employee, and let's say that I've been mandated. I haven't been vaccinated, and I've been mandated to get vaccinated, and I'm in perfect health. What if I, as a result of being forced to take the vaccine to keep my job, then I subsequently die or am disabled as a result of a reaction to the vaccine? Who's liable?
Great point. So I think yes, the government does bear some liability, and I think part of that removing of free will here is going to be a part of what we see lawsuits coming about, Chuck. The other thing that we're going to have to deal with, too, is not just your personal health, but how about your financial well-being? Should a person be required to choose between their job and a vaccine that may have a real, you know, religious exemption or you know, other kind of exemption attached to it? And then the other thing is, what if you're a federal employee, like in the military? When you get to 18 years, you are in what's called sanctuary for your retirement. They can't let you go. But right now they're saying the military is going to discharge people for not taking the shot. So what if you're at 19 years, 20 years is when you get your retirement, 18 years, though, they can't let you go. Are they going to keep you around for another year? It's a good question. So, Chuck, I'm not sure I can fully answer everything about your hypothetical, but it's a great question, and it's one of those questions that's so dangling out there that it's creating all the uncertainty. Thanks for the call, Chuck. We appreciate you listening from Athens, and you keep listening, man. We love having you in the audience. So, folks, 866-494-9866, you want to explore these issues, just call on in. But this is going to wind up being a fight that does not play out in short order. It's going to be a fight that keeps on for a long period of time. And I'm just telling you, this fight is not over. And we're not going to see the end of it probably this year. And so the idea that Biden's going to make this speech and say, oh, you're going to get the shot because my patience is wearing thin. And you're going to take your company and you're going to make them all get a shot or OSHA's going to come get you. I guarantee you there's a court order coming here pretty soon. And yesterday, if I recall right, the attorney general in Arizona has already filed suit. In fact, in the next break, I'm going to find that story. The attorney general in Arizona has already filed suit on this issue. And according to Attorney General Marshall, it was based on the fact that citizens are being treated differently than illegals that are flooding across the border in Arizona. So illegals are coming in without testing, without mandates to get their shots. And yet the citizens of Arizona are being required to. Why is that okay? It's not okay. So I'm going to find a copy of that article on Arizona here. All right, we're going to head to this short break and come back and wrap up the day. If you want to call in, we'll have time for one or two more calls, 866-494-9866, 866-494-9866. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Oh, man, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here in the waning moments of the Right Side Radio broadcast for today. We are here Monday through Friday, 2 to 5 p.m. And you can catch us, by the way, if you're on AM, FM, of course you can catch us in North Alabama, Southern Tennessee. But if you want to hear us anywhere you are, go to rightsideradio.org. Just click Listen Live, no matter where you is, there we is. Hey, real quick, I'll tell you this. So we got this story that came out. So yes, Arizona was the first state to go ahead and file suit. I was talking about that with our attorney general on the air yesterday. And of course, they're making constitutional claims because they got to throw everything in there. But they're also taking it one step further. So the article I'm looking at right now off of Yahoo News says, in addition to proving that Biden's vaccine mandate is unconstitutional, the Attorney General Brnovich from Arizona's legal action also seeks to show that the order violates the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution. And he goes on to say, the order just literally favors migrants that have crossed into the country illegally. And his quote is, as thousands, even millions of migrants across the border, the federal government is allowing them the choice, even though they're not citizens, whether to get the vaccine or not, and not providing the same courtesy to U.S. citizens. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Well, I got two callers holding on the line, so let me just do this. I'll go straight to the one who's been holding the longest, John from Hartsel. Hey, John, Phil Williams here. Thanks for calling Right Side Radio. What's on your mind?
Phil, for taking my call. On that last gentleman that was asking who was going to be responsible for his damages if he was disabled or even died during that right. Taking that shot because of his job, we can answer that real easy. Nobody will. But on the religious side of this thing, people that claim to be Christian or believe they're Christian or whatever, you know, and I'm not saying they are not, but they need to wake up because this is just one way to start chiseling away at our religious freedoms. Anyone that's a Christian, they're going to be persecuted.
I totally agree with
that,
John.
Worse and worse.
I totally agree with that, John. I mean, it's a constitutional issue. Let's take just your answer there on the religious side. I think you're totally right. If we sit idly by and say nothing, then nothing is what we're going to get. We're not going to get anything of value to uphold our liberties. It's going to take people speaking out, acting up, and taking things to court if they have to. Hey, great call, John. Thanks for that. And I tend to agree too that no one will take responsibility if you wind up having an issue. But I got another caller on the line, line five. Let's go to Kirby over in Harvest. Hey, Kirby, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Well, first, I wanted to comment on the issue about the open border in South Texas.
Yes, sir.
And what I've done, I've been to several events. I went to a funeral, and I met an elderly couple who came up to Ken Weber's funeral. And they were from southwest of Houston, way down near the border. And I asked them, you know, I just said, let's assume I don't know and ask them. And they said, well, people down there are very angry about, you know, all these unidentified illegal aliens just coming across their border. I mean, it's not only the south border of the U.S., it's also the south border of Texas as well. And then I spoke to a young fellow at the Ham Radio Fest in Huntsville, and he was from Dallas-Fort Worth. And he said people are tired, you know, of having their these foreigners come across the border, and their they upset the livestock, and livestock start running off somewhere, and the owners have to go find them, you know. And he said, I said, you sound like you're describing with the government opening this up, it's like a three-ring circus. And he said, yeah, when you're at the circus, looking at the display of the miniature man or something like that, then the government reaches their hand in your back pocket and pulls all your money out while you're doing that. Wow. And the last thing I heard, I was just walking at Redstone and talked to a Texas family who was gardening. And I asked them about, I said, are Texans mad about what's going on there? And the man said, yes, they're mad. He said, anybody in Texas who's not mad about that is probably not a real Texan.
That's
what I've heard from people from Texas about that matter.
Hey, man. Hey, Kirby, thanks for the call. Thanks for being in the audience, too, and appreciate that. And I think you're absolutely right. There's a growing dissatisfaction. I saw a report this morning, by the way, that showed there's a bridge, and I'm trying to think where it was, McAllen? It may be at McAllen, Texas, but it was, which is right across the border from Reynosa, Mexico, if that's the one I'm thinking of. But it literally, it had a bridge, and there were like several thousand illegal immigrants just kind of camped out under this bridge, literally waiting for ICE to come and get them. Just waiting. Because they know they will, so why walk inland? Just wait until they come get us. They'll give us food and take us and then drop us off somewhere, maybe give us a flight to another place in the United States, because that's happening too. All right, folks, what a full day. Hey, listen, Right Side Radio is here tomorrow. We got a good show planned. It's going to be a great one, and you want to be there. And right after this, by the way, we got the great one, Mark Levin, coming on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. You have a great night.